Wasn't last week's message from Pastor Lynn just an incredible word? We've got a two-week series of strength to strength, and I'm going to be just kicking into the second part of this today as well. So I want to start with a scripture from Acts chapter 10, and this is, you know, this is after Jesus. If you don't know what's Acts, this is after Jesus was resurrected, and the apostles and the disciples, they were past the ball for the church, and they were off doing the business and extending the kingdom. And they were reflecting actually in this verse about what Jesus had done and how they are actually a part of this movement. And it says, you know what happened? God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. And I love this. This here brings just a great context to one of the things that Jesus was all about, and that was that he was the healer of those who were actually under the oppression of the enemy. And he went and he empowered his disciples to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse the lepers, to cast out demons. And you're like, that's a bit different to what Lynn was talking about. And you're like, yes. This morning, I actually just want to take a different angle of what it means to go from strength to strength in our lives. And we talk a lot about mental and emotional health, and that's, you know, we're never going to get tired of talking about that. But today, I actually want to talk about another dimension, because we are body, soul, and spirit. And I want to talk about the spirit realm this morning. This week, I was actually just praying for someone who is a part of this church, who's an amazing Jesus follower in this church, and they were just being real with me about this heaviness, about this condemnation, this sense of unworthiness that had actually just been around them and troubling them for the last couple of weeks. And I was like, you know, hey, that's not what the Father has for you. And this person doesn't have a, you know, they're not in a place where they've been in a really dark space and they've been battling with depression. It's just been kind of like this isolated time where they just felt this real heaviness. And it was like the enemy was trying to come in and get a foothold. And so I was just like, no, we're just going to reject that right now. We're going to pray together right now. This is not what the Father has for you. And as soon as I started praying, I actually discerned in that moment that there was a spirit of death and hell that was just trying to overshadow this person I was praying with, and it was attempting to come over them. I actually saw a shadow, which is in the spirit, all right? Well, I'm saying in the spirit because I saw it in the spirit. I didn't see it in the natural. I saw the shadow behind them and trying to come on them. And I immediately just spoke out what I saw. And I said, I just break that spirit of death and hell off you in the name of Jesus. And they immediately had a response. They immediately doubled over and started coughing and just getting free of that spirit. And that was a really good moment. And then we just kind of just spent some time praying, and I just declared the Father's love over them, and there was tears, and there was just a really amazing moment of deliverance. And that took about 20 minutes, you know, just like, whoa, that was a really awesome God encounter. God just set someone free in that moment. And it's just, yeah, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Today, my message is called Get Free and Stay Free. You know, yeah, I know, right? It's good. It's good. It's one thing getting free, but it is actually another thing in staying free. If we have a physical injury, I want to just give you an example right now. If you have a physical injury and we don't acknowledge the pain, if we don't treat the wound, if we don't protect it and cover it, you know, it's likely that the injury that we have could become physically infected. And, you know, in the same way that our body can become physically infected, so can our soul become physically infected, and our spirit, You know, just as the pain of the of a physical infection and an unhealed wound impacts our whole body, our whole life can be affected. Man, you can get a prickle in your little toe when you know about it. This was like, look at something so small hurt my whole body. Why has it got my whole attention? You know, in that same way, our whole body can actually be affected by a spiritual wound, by an emotional wound, by a trauma. And in that same way, an unhealed wound can actually open a doorway for a spiritual infection. And the enemy, here we go, the enemy is not passive. He's not passive. 1 Peter 5 says, be on your guard. For the enemy, he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking those he will devour. And today, I just want to expose him. He's a liar. But I want to just also look at some of the things and ways that we could actually let our guard down and allow the enemy to come in. First of all, I just want to consider this psalm, Psalm 34, where it says, come, O magnify the Lord. And we've been doing that this morning, all right? It doesn't say, come and magnify the devil. Don't magnify your sin. Don't magnify your sickness. Don't magnify what you have, what your hopelessness, all those things that we could be. Don't magnify the have-nots, but magnify the Lord. I want to just get that really clear here today that this is not about magnifying the devil. But we can't just relegate the devil and the demonic realm to a potential fairy tale that happened with a snake in the Garden of Eden. We're not going to do that either. You know, the enemy has an agenda, and he carries the Antichrist spirit. He has got an agenda to destroy the works of Jesus Christ. And during the ministry of Jesus, we can see that. Jesus was confronted by him. He was tempted by him. He resisted him. And then Jesus defeated him on the cross. And that was a good day. Let's give a shout of praise, because Jesus became the gateway of our authority. But going from strength to strength spiritually and emotionally, simply, you know, it won't happen. It will not happen if we become obsessed with what the enemy is doing in our lives. And we magnify him. We magnify his nature. He does not deserve any place of reverence or respect. But we need to be aware of his strategies. We need to resist him. You know, that's what that verse actually in Peter says, resist him. And he goes on to say that. Ephesians 6, you know this. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. Because he's got strategies. He's got ideas. He's got ways. He's got schemes and means. He wants to get under your skin. There's a spiritual war. The armor of God was given. He didn't give us a Piper Slippers and a Lazy Boy. You know, it was like, that's not what it is. Oh, now that I'm just a child of God, you know, I'm just not going to just chill out and just, you know, I think that I'm just here and it's going to just be okay. No, there's actually a battle that we face. So I also want to say this, you know, 2 Timothy 1:7. I'm just stirring some stuff up here, right? God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. All right, so if you're in this place, right, you're starting to feel a little bit agitated by the devil, I want to just say no. He has not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, a spirit of power, and a spirit of a sound mind. So let's just like reflect on Satan's current social status and authority from Isaiah 14. You laugh at the enemy. Ha ha. How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You've been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. Verse 13 and 14 goes on to say, I will ascend. He starts, you know, like really just bragging on himself. And I was going to speak about that, but I just had way too much content. So we're just going to save that for another time. But you were brought down to the realm of the dead, to the depth of the pit. Those who see you stare at you. They ponder your fate. Is this the man who shook the earth and made kingdoms tremble? The man who made the world a wilderness, who overthrew its cities and would not let captives go home? You know, Isaiah's just painting this picture of where Satan's at. He uses words like fallen, cut down, brought down, describing, you know, to these adjectives about how shocked really people would be when we see Satan in his defeated state. Is this the man so small and insignificant? And I want to just bring just a very quick recap of the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had the opportunity to take dominion over the enemy, but instead they became subject to him. God said, "Don't eat the fruit of that tree. It's poison. You will die." But Satan cast shade on what God said and said in Genesis 3, verse 4, you will not certainly die. In fact, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. So in this transaction, humanity exchanged obedience for God's word, obedient to God, to actually obedience to Satan. In rejecting what God said, they embrace what he said. And in Romans 1, verse 25, it says, they exchanged the truth of God for a liar. You know, the devil is a liar. Let's just start there. The devil is a liar. He wants to cast shade, bring confusion, bring disorientation in regards to our identity, our authority, and he is going to whisper in our ear at times in regards to just disorientating us from what God has spoken over our lives. Let me remind you that not every thought that you have in your head is your own. It's either your mother's, your mother-in-law's, your wife, it could be God, hopefully, or it could be the enemy. So in Ephesians 4:18, Paul is urging the church to reject anything that could lead from separation from God. Demonic deception, offenses, lifestyle choices that lead to darkness of thought and hardness of heart. And he goes on to say in verse 22, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which has been corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Paul says, you were taught. I want to remind you about what you already know. Your old self is not your friend. Put it off. Renew your mind. Put on the new self. And then Paul begins to clarify some of the behaviors of the old self. And the rest of this chapter actually just goes on and speaks about this. But I want to just give you a couple more verses. "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. For we are all members of one body." It's incredible how, you know, one response could actually affect someone, you know, who's a part of the one body. We're all hurting when someone else is hurting in the body. Anyway, it says, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold." Do not give the devil a foothold. You know, if you've gone rock climbing, you know that a foothold doesn't have to be very big. A foothold can just be a little edge. It could be a little cavity. It just has to be big enough for your foot to be able to bear weight, for your body to be able to get balance so that you can gain altitude ultimately. So do not give the devil a foothold. Paul is like, hey, church, just because you got free, don't just assume this means that you are going to stay free. Do not give the devil any opportunity to take ground in your life. He's reminding us again that the demonic realm is not passive. Its intention is to take ground, to gain access, to acquire authority ultimately in our lives. So do not give him any kind of permission through your conduct, through your speech, through your attitudes, through your friendships. How you all doing? It's good. As a 20-year-old, I allowed a foothold of unbelief to become a stronghold in my life for probably about 4 years, I'd say. It took me to actually come out of it. And it started because my boss had been a Christian, and he had actually fallen away and become immersed in Eastern religion and the philosophy of an Eastern lifestyle. He was heavily into yoga. He knew all the answers for Christianity. He'd been a Christian. And I was just pretty young, and he really challenged my faith for probably about 2.5 years before I was 20 years old. But when I was 20, I just started really doubting the goodness of God. And I started looking into Eastern philosophy, reading books. I did a little bit of yoga, and I was actually looking. I was like, why was it so troubling for me at the time? And I went into this, there's a thing, you know, like Wikipedia, there's a Yogapedia. And there's a definition here, and I know this definition. Yoga means to join, to yoke, to unite. And then it goes on to say, the practice aims to create union between body, mind, and spirit, as well as between the individual self and universal consciousness. And so I started thinking, God, you're such a hard judge. Surely everyone's just invited, regardless of religions. And embracing this idea that there was a universal consciousness. And, you know, it wasn't a good path for me to go down. Because when we open ourselves up to any other spiritual gateway other than Jesus, it's an invitation to a counterfeit reality. And a counterfeit spiritual reality, that is, as well. So, as I listened to my boss and as I'd let these seeds of unbelief come into my heart just started shifting and changing. As I opened my heart to Eastern religion, I started becoming hardened to the Spirit of God. And I'd actually created a haven. I'd actually created more than a foothold that it allowed the spirit of unbelief and confusion, a demonic spirit. I don't know if demons are shapeshifters, and they, you know, they could be a spirit of lust and then change into a, you know, an unbelieving spirit. It doesn't really bother me, but anyway, there was this spirit that came in and actually created this defense in my heart towards God. A stronghold was created, and I had this environment going on in my heart, and I was looking for, you know, inner peace, but I was getting anything but inner peace. It became established, and I experienced an extreme loss of hope, disconnection from peace and joy, and I became so depressed for about a year and a half. And that's not the end of the story. I want to read this from 2 Corinthians 10. 3 and 4, it might just be 4. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Now, the stronghold, if you look at that, what does that mean in Greek? It's like a fortress. It's a defense. It's described as a castle. And so the enemy constructs spiritual strongholds, often actually accessed through the wounds or experiences or disappointments or ungodly choices that we've made. Once he's found a foothold, he just wants to build on. He wants to build on from this, brick by brick, lie by lie, creating a stronghold in our lives. And they are formed by the lies and the wrong conclusions that are fed to us from the enemy. This includes inaccurate ideas about who God is, prideful thoughts, distorted perceptions about how we think God sees us and feels about us when we sin or fail. You know, here's another example. Perhaps someone you trusted who should have played the role of a father or mother in your life actually betrayed you, and you experienced a deep hurt. And as a result, the enemy lied to you saying that no one can be trusted and that you're on your own. You then become fiercely independent, so much so that you have trust issues, which has resulted in you struggling to trust the promises of God. A stronghold is a mindset that holds you hostage from freedom. A stronghold makes you believe that you are hopelessly locked into a situation and that you are powerless to change. But that's not true. Someone who's saying, I'm just going to push this a little bit further. Someone who's saying, I can't, needs to demolish a stronghold that has been insulating you from the fear of failure. But it has kept you from experiencing the value of courage and embracing who God's called you to be. You know, spiritual opposition and oppression have so much to actually do about the way you're thinking and feeling. You can't dismiss your feelings. You can't dismiss the fact that if you were feeling good last week, you're feeling bad this week. Yes, it might be hormones. It might be there's a whole lot of other contributing things. It might be that you had an argument, all that stuff. But you cannot dismiss the fact that the enemy wants to come in and actually build on your feeling. You know, when I was in my place of real depression and struggling, I came to my senses and I realized that I was totally lost. I confessed the sin in my life and turning away from God, and I repented of my doubts and I aligned my life with deception. I totally turned back to Jesus. But you know, that's when the fight really kicked in. It took me about 2 or 3 years after that to actually shift an atmosphere of unbelief and confusion out of my heart and out of my head. It's dangerous to harden your heart towards God, which I'd done. This was a real battle for me. It was like I had this filter of gray painted over my vision for my future, you know, for my gifts, for what God was going to do with my life. When I would look at creation, because I used to love just going to the mountains and being in creation with God, it was like the enemy went after that specifically. When I'd look at the mountains specifically, I would experience this overwhelming feeling of dread, because I felt so unbelieving. I was just like, how could God make that? And so I'd had this dread that was just come over me that everything was a lie. And I was just like, that is so not true. I repent from that. That is not true. What I needed to do was actually just build a new stronghold. I needed to build a stronghold of truth. I needed to deconstruct all the lies that I'd actually put on and layered on and consumed and build a stronghold of faith. And do you know that it often takes time to demolish strongholds? You can acknowledge that something needs to change in your life. You can take captive those thoughts and declare the obedience of Christ. But sometimes, even in the natural, demolition and rebuilding doesn't happen like that. It is a process of reconstructing a life that is in line with the Spirit of God. Like, this is about getting free and staying free. It requires us to do the mahi. It requires us to dig deep. It requires us to face the coal face of our reality and say, devil, look at the Word of God. Myself, look at what the Word of God is saying about me. I resist you. I do not submit to my feelings. I do not submit to this reality that's going on in my life. Devil, get out. Now, you might have to do that on a daily basis for years. Like, it is worth the fight. I had to just dig a new well. It is so worth the fight. It might not be the story for you. You might just encounter Jesus. Woo! Woo-hoo! Freedom! And I pray that that's your story. I'm actually really grateful for the battle. When I look back, I'm like, that just built so much strength in my identity, knowing who I am in Christ, knowing the Word of God. It says this, remembering 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5, we're going to just go to 5. It says, we demolish arguments and every pretension. That word pretension, it means elevated place or thing, anything elevated, that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. So today, I want to expose the lies of the enemy. We want to pull down strongholds. Jesus has given us the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever we bind or whatever we restrict, whatever we permit or whatever we resist on earth will be permitted and resisted in heaven. This is the day to close the doors to the strongholds and to demolish them, church. We are going from strength to strength as a people, and it is our heart's cry that we would all rise together, that there would be no one left behind struggling in their old way. So I just want to like identify some stuff and begin to decommission the work of the enemy. Let's frame it that way. And we're going to call them doorways. And I've got scriptures for these. I'm not going to share all the scriptures because I just simply don't have time. You're welcome to my notes or to ask me questions around. And this is there's four doors that I want to identify. And with those doorways, there's a key idea and then a whole lot of baggage that people end up dealing with in regards to that doorway. So we're just going to go after this. This might be quite confrontational for some of you guys, but we're all here. Like, we're just family, all right? There's no condemnation. First of all, the doorway of fear. Fear is the most common sin that people deal with. The sins of worry, unbelief, the need to control, anxiety, isolation, apathy, drugs, alcohol, all reside behind the doorway of fear. We just want to medicate so we don't have to feel it. We want to avoid it so that we don't have to confront it. Doorway number one, but what does God say? He's not given you a spirit of fear. Doorway number two, hatred. The doorway of hatred contains the sins of bitterness, jealousy, envy, gossip, slander, anger, and self-hatred. This is like low self-worth. Other sins like racism actually sit aside behind this door. Door number two. They're not very nice doors. They're good to shut and then to hell. Door number three, the door of sexual sins, contains adultery, pornography, fornication, lewdness, molestation, rape, and homosexuality. Fantasy also resides behind this door. Door number four, the occult and witchcraft. This is the final door. The occult contains sins of astrology, fortune-telling, tarot cards, seances, Ouija boards, manipulation, participation in covens, casting curses, rebellion, witchcraft. Movements like New Age, yoga, and Reiki are also behind this door. So we want to close some doors this morning. And if you've looked at that list and you've identified a door, or you're feeling offended, that's okay. We can actually close those doors through the simple prayer of repentance, asking God to remove its influence. And I just want to just share another scripture. I've got a lot of scripture here today because this is actually a legal right that we have. This is not just an idea. This is legal in the spirit. The enemy has no legal right in your life once you've repented. It says this in Colossians 2. It is a New Living Translation. It says, "You were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins." This is it. "He cancelled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross." So this is good news right here. So every sin, every part of brokenness, every influence of the demonic is actually being cancelled. The record of that has been cancelled by God. This is a legal statement here. He's cancelled the legal charges against by nailing to the cross, and then he's disarmed the rulers and authority. They are powerless to influence your life anymore. That's a good word right there. So I just want to, if you can stand in this place right now, just stand to your feet. I want to lead you in a prayer together. I hope this is helpful. This is a prayer of repentance, actually, and a prayer of repentance is simply the response to a far greater option. It's like, oh, I was doing that, and this here is a better option. I want to go that way. Repentance means to turn around. It means to turn around and go another way. And with that, we can ask God to forgive us for actually going that way as well. So you can join in this prayer with me, and you can just, you know, put your own words in there as well. So just put some pauses in this prayer. And you can just really just ask the Holy Spirit just to bring to mind what he might need to bring to mind for you personally. So I'll just do a general prayer and then we'll get into this one. Holy Spirit, I just thank you for every single soul in this building. And I just thank you that you have freedom in mind. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And when anyone who turns to the Lord... Oh, Lord, we just thank you that we get to turn to you this morning. We get to turn away from our lives, and we get to turn away from the things that are hindering us and hurting us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We just also just want to just say yes, Holy Spirit, to just show us the wounds that we might need to identify, that need to be healed in this moment, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So I'll lead you, and then you can just ask the Holy Spirit. Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for opening this door to fear, hatred, sexual sin, or the occult. I repent for partnering with this sin of worry, stress, jealousy, control, offense. I renounce this sin's hold over my life, and I ask you, Lord, to cleanse me. Cleanse me with your righteous blood. Close this door, Jesus. I turn my back on this door. Seal it shut, Jesus, in your mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just fall in this place, Holy Spirit. We just thank you. We just thank you for your cleansing blood. We just thank you for your cleansing blood in this room. We just thank you, Jesus, for triumphing over the enemy. for making a public spectacle of him on the cross. And so we just resist the devil today. We resist the words, the confusion, and the lies that we believe. We resist that over the atmospheres of our homes. And we bless our families today. We bless our children and our brothers and our sisters and our parents, God. We bless them with freedom, Jesus. You know, as I've been sharing today, you might have just even started just feeling a little uneasy, even a little sick, even a little disturbed. And that actually can be the enemy. But what's greater is that the enemy's being disturbed because truth has been spoken and the presence of God is here. And the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like a shifting shadow, he has just got good things for you. He's got your deliverance and your freedom in mind. And I want to give an opportunity today for anyone who's just felt oppressed by the devil, oppressed by the enemy, and you've been saying, it's just my thoughts. Oppression is aligned with the enemy, and Jesus wants to bring you deliverance. He went around healing everyone oppressed, whether it's emotional oppression, financial oppression, spiritual oppression, relational oppression. He wants to bring liberation. Just liberation. Just freedom and liberation. So I just want to ask just for the ministry team just to come up right now. Just as they come, James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. As I've been speaking, I mean, you might have just had some stuff that you just know you need to confess. And maybe there's some safe people up the front here that you feel comfortable in confessing something to. I love this. When we confess, it disempowers the enemy and we receive healing. So we're going to just sing right now. We're just going to sing something to do with freedom. It's going to be amazing. And as we sing, I just want to invite you to respond. Just don't tolerate the enemy. Maybe this is over your home. Maybe you see something generational that you're just like, I want to stand against that. I'm all about freedom and liberation. And you're like, yeah, I want to align with that. So yeah. Thank you, team. Lead us.